The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Today on Exploring the Word, I want to share with you five words that mean a lot to people when they're looking for good things to happen, but also when it's difficult and you're looking for better days. Let me quote it. It's in chapter 2, verse 1 of the book of Luke, and it came to pass. Now, I've heard that all my life, Alex. And by the way, this is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland on Exploring the Word. And Alex, I remember someone saying this to some young mothers who had little children, preschoolers, three, even four preschoolers. They had them that much. And they said, we don't have time for anything. And some of the older mothers would quote to them, and this, and it came to pass. It will come to pass, won't it?
It will. Didn't come to stay. Came to pass. Isn't that good?
It is. So anyway.
Somebody said once.
Go ahead.
You know, if you get off track in life, if you get off track, God's got more track. Isn't that good?
Amen. That is great. Well, that's really not what we're about today. We're still talking about the birth of Jesus. And again, I remind you the reason we're doing this so early, even before Thanksgiving, during the month of December, the 12th, through about the 21st, and you're going to hear Alex and myself, we pre-recorded programs about Proverbs and Revelation, and because of all the vacations and times off and different things going on, we've chosen to re-air those and have those available on AFA at afastore.net. And so get ready, and if you wanted to order early, you could go ahead and order those early, but they're going to be available at afa.net. But so we didn't want to miss the Christmas story, so we chose to start it early. And we're in chapter 2 of Luke, which is probably the most common passage read concerning the birth of Jesus, Alex.
Oh, yeah, it is. It really is. And, you know, I love Luke 2. I pretty much memorized it as a child, and I've got to think that this is one of the most well-known passages in all of Scripture, and just the words of it take me back. Every time I hear Linus on the Charlie Brown special, and I'm sure many people listening know what I'm talking about, when Charlie Brown in exasperation says, you know, can anybody tell me what Christmas is about? Mm. And Linus says, I can, Charlie Brown. He goes, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And you remember, it goes on, it's the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. And we want to encourage everybody, sometime during the Christmas season, maybe you folks do it on Christmas Eve. You know, we always did it whenever we would get back from church on Christmas Eve after the December 24th. And, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, you get back home after Christmas Eve service. And we would always read Luke chapter 2, and just the very words of it take me back, don't they, you, Bert?
They do. So let's just do that. You and I talk about our predecessor, especially my predecessor, Marvin Sanders, when he was the co-host with you, and he would make sure, let's read the Scripture. And we want to say that the Scriptures are more important than our commentary on the Scriptures, and that is so vital. So, Alex, how about reading Luke chapter 2? It kind of stands on its own, but then we can make a few comments about it. Go ahead, brother.
It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or enrolled. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage. He taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, meaning she was very far along in her pregnancy. Verse 6 of Luke 2, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And Bert, I got to say, verse 7, has got to be some of the most important words in the history of the world.
Agreed.
And she, Mary, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Bert, who was that firstborn son?
His name is Jesus. And I'm telling you what, there's no one like him. There's never going to be anyone like him. He's right now seated at the right hand of the Father, enthroned, making intercession for those who have come to him by faith, and he is ready to save those who have not come to him yet. Alex, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's no other name
right.
given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus.
Every
time you say 2016, you're testifying of Jesus.
And yes, let me say this. So many young people now that are in public school, they don't know B.C. and A.D. You know, B.C. is before Christ, A.D. Is Latin Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. And, you know, you would hear people say, especially, you know, if you read any of the documents of America's founding fathers, they would say, you know, in the year of our Lord, 1776, because Anno Domini means everything, you know, post Christ means this is, you know, since God has come to earth, you know, the birth of Jesus. Nowadays, so many kids, they hear C.E. and B.C.E., but even that acknowledges Jesus because, you know, the academics will say common era. This, the last 2,000 years is the common era. Before that was before the common era. We always say, you know, without Jesus, life is rather common, isn't it? But the thing is, even in their attempt to erase Jesus from our marking of the calendar, Jesus is still there, because how do we mark time? You know, we divide history by the life of Jesus. Isn't that something?
It is great. Amen. Let's do one thing, and I want you to bring up one thing with this passage 1 through 7. Let me share mine. It has to do with our president-elect, okay? Notice how God could use Caesar Augustus, how he could use Quirinius, who were not followers of God, how he used them to bring about the will of God. And that's exactly what I want to share today. There's hope. People are, rioting. It's more than demonstrating. They're rioting. They're destroying a lot. And so much is going on. And those, they're crying and all the things that you've heard about, I've heard about. But there's those of us who have hope that God would just intervene, because we believe he has intervened, and we as believers are going to continue to pray, continue to let our voices be heard, and we're going to pray that godly people will be put in places of position who are very equipped. But I look at that and I say, here's Caesar Augustus, here's Quirinius, and God's will was still done. You know, God is on the throne, isn't he, brother?
He is. God is on the throne. And, you know, this is amazing. I mean, quite literally, as has often been said, the greatest story ever told. Absolutely. God works his will through willing people. God works his will through sometimes unwilling people. God works his will through things that, from our vantage point, might look like just, you know, insignificant things. But, you know, Joseph goes up to Galilee from Nazareth. Now, it was prophesied that Jesus would be a Nazarene. He would live in Nazareth. But they went into Judea, into the city of David, called Bethlehem. Bert, I remember, and what a privilege to go to the Holy Land. And we weren't able to go into the town of Bethlehem because it was really kind of under lockdown, and Islamic officials had sort of sequestered Bethlehem, and nobody could go in. But we stood on a hillside, and we looked over Bethlehem, and I thought about, of course, the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Unfortunately, Bethlehem doesn't lie very still these days. There's a lot of conflict there. But I just stood there for the longest time looking over at Bethlehem, and I thought, oh my goodness, that is where my Lord Amen. Came into human history. But look at verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in literally strips of cloth. Swaddling clothes, it's translated, but strips of cloth, which in the wording would be associated with what you would wrap a dead body in. When they would prepare a corpse for burial, they would wrap it in strips of cloth. How ironic that a kind of allusion to death, burial cloths, would be what a newborn baby would be wrapped in. Now, Bert, why do you think that kind of reference might be there?
It's got to be prophetic because Jesus was born to die. When you look at all of the prophecies in the Old Testament, you have those about dying on a tree. You have him, being sold for 30 pieces of silver. And so even at his birth, there's prophetic voice in what they wrapped him in. And then also they wrapped him in a manger. Now, probably it was a stone manger carved out in those days, but it was a place of feeding trough. Now, wasn't that something that he'd be placed in a feeding trough and the house of bread? Bethlehem meaning house of bread.
And, oh, I know.
You know, there's so much here that every detail that Luke gives, as you would say, it has deep meaning, more than just information, Alex. And sometimes we read the scriptures with just, I'd like to have that information. But many times, because of what is said in the Old Testament and then what is going to happen in the future, these details have deep meaning for us to knowing that God is working all things good, even in this, isn't he?
That's right. So there's a census, and there's an enrollment. Now, we're going to talk about something that the Romans used called a rationarium, where people's name and identity and birthplace, and it was kind of a logbook of information about people. So everybody had to go to their hometown, and in the case of Joseph, it was Bethlehem. But there's no room. I mean, the town is full, and the local hotels or whatever, not available. In this story, if we're kind of spiritualizing, we might ask the question, what about today? Christ comes by. Is there room in your heart? You know, he from the moment he entered this world, the Son of God experienced different levels of rejection. There was no room for them in the inn, but they were able to go into a stable. And she laid him in a manger, which is a feed trough. But the story kind of changes gears from verse 7 to verse 8.
It does. Let me introduce that, and then you carry it away. Okay, let me ask the question. If you were going to tell that a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was just born, who would you tell, Alex?
Well, we would think, oh, well, you'd go to all the officials, the religious leaders, the governmental leaders. But who gets the annunciation first, the biggest headline in the history of the world, a Savior is born, and God goes to a class, not popular, not status, but the lowly shepherds.
That's who it is, kind of outcast. And if you feel like you're an outcast, I want to tell you, God's speaking to your heart and calling you to himself today. This is Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio, Alex and Bert. We'll be back with Luke chapter 2 right after the break.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio, are supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
They say time flies when you're having fun, but Dr. Tony Evans says it can go painfully slow when you're not. He'll talk about what we should do during times like that as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When the kids were growing up, every year we would always go to an amusement park. We love amusement parks, and the wilder the ride is, the more excited I get, because I love the wild rides and, of course, the wildest of all, the roller coaster. The problem with that ride is a whole lot of other folk want to get on it too. Yes, you want the ride, but you don't want the wait. They began putting television screens intermittently along the wait line, so that the wait didn't affect you the same way as it used to affect you, because there was something for you to focus on that took your mind off of the pain of having to go 90 minutes before you arrived at your destination. I don't know how long God's going to keep you in the line you're in. I don't know how long he's going to make you wait for your deliverance to come. All I do know is there is a comforter. There is a distraction. There is something that God has provided while you're in this line to deal with this. He says, I want you, in the middle of what you're going through, to focus on the fact that if you are seeking the Lord, serving the Lord, are committed to the Lord, I want your focus to be on the Lord, so that while you're going through this, the God who allowed the affliction can also share the comfort.
Learn more about how the Lord cares for you and equips you to care for others with the help of Dr. Evans' teaching series, Comforting the Afflicted, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony. You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
This is Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland. It's good to be with you today. Whether you're in your car, whether you're in your kitchen or in your office or store, wherever you might be, we're thankful. We've got people that listen to us all over the United States. Alex and I get to travel some, and people will come up to us and they say, man, we get to hear you. I want to tell you something happened today, Alex. I got a phone call from a friend of mine who met you when the last time, I think, you were here in Tupelo, and you were on your way to Memphis, and you had to stop off and get gasoline in your car. And he pulled up beside you, and he said, I believe that's Alex McFarland. And he started saying, well, I could tell Alex was in a hurry, but he said, I wanted to let him know that I listened to he and Bert. He's an old friend, but anyway, it happens even pumping gas, doesn't it?
And what's that fellow's name?
Scott Mills. If you're listening, Scott, you're getting your name called, brother.
Exactly. What a nice guy. So, yeah, I was putting gas in the rental car going to the airport at Memphis, and he said, hey, can I get a picture? And I said, yeah, you bet. No problem. And so, yeah, what a nice guy. And we meet people all over the place. This past weekend in Colorado, met people who hear us. And, you know, I do want to say on my website, I've got my calendar where I'm going to be preaching all around the country, and we've got 8 or 10 things to add. I would ask everybody to pray. I just got yesterday, Bert, I confirmed that January 14th, I'm going to Vancouver, Canada to debate an atheist
at
a college.
Well, I knew you were, that was a possibility, and that's in January, huh?
Yeah, and we always have kids come to Christ at these things. You know, it's a unique kind of ministry. It's a unique way to share the gospel. But, you know, we'll keep everybody updated and being in prayer. But I know I speak for Bert and myself when I say, you know, all of y'all, we love you guys. We do. and we share your enthusiasm for the Word of God. And whenever we meet folks out there that say they listen to the program, it really does mean the world to us. It does.
Only question I have is going to Canada in January. Brent and I are looking at each other. That's when you go south in January, Alex, not north.
I know. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Well, we'll be praying for that and asking God just to give you everything you need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Let's dig in back into Luke 2. It says, now they were in the same country. I love the word now. And again, every word is so important. Okay, now that this is done, now I'm going to tell you what else took place. Luke is driving this narrative under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, now that the birth has taken place, now this is taking place. And it's this thing that we call it the Great Commission, making him known. You know, we do take it in. Praise God, he has changed our lives. But we can't help. I mean, it's good news. That's what he's doing, and he's sharing it. The angel shares it with the shepherds, doesn't he?
Well, he does. And you know what? I want to make a comment on verse 8, but I want to set it up. Because if you ask, okay, what are the things Jesus did when Christ came to earth, what did he do? And obviously he paid for the sins of the world and rose from the grave. He purchased our salvation. True. But Jesus, I would submit, did two great things. He accomplished salvation and he started the church. Now think about this. The longest lasting entity in history is the church. I mean, there's never been a business that's lasted 2,000 plus years. There's never been a country. So the greatest thing, the longest perpetual thing in human history, the Christian church, Jesus started. The longest thing in all of eternity, the family of God, you know, Jesus started. All right, now here's the thing. Later, Jesus would call forth pastors, and pastors are called shepherds. In verse 8, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. Two things about shepherds. It's good for them to keep watch over their flock. It's good for the shepherds to be near Jesus.
Amen.
And right after it says, Mary brought forth her firstborn son, Jesus. And there were nearby shepherds. Hey, the shepherds need to be nearby Jesus, don't they?
Amen. After pastoring for as many years as I did, there should be a desperate, I'm desperate for you, God. There should be a desperation on every person that's a pastor. I would even say a small group leader. There should be a desperation of getting a word from the Word of God to share. And I say that today, even for you and me, Alex, as we dig over this, we say, oh, Lord, give us, make sure, yes, we can read it, but if there's an insight that we can give that would affect that person that's going to be listening today, that would make a connection with them, and the Holy Spirit could drive that home, desperate for it. And what I hear you, Alex, is that shepherd being that way, taking care of the flock, keeping watch over them, but also staying close so that they can hear that voice. Listen to this now. It says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, an angel has appeared before, but it's not necessarily with the glory of the Lord coming with them. This is, you know, there's several times in the Bible that you will have an angel or a messenger from God, and they'll come and they'll speak. They would come and speak to Paul. Even in the New Testament, he would speak to Abraham. But here, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. At Jesus' birth, there's the glory of God. At his time of when Jesus was at the Transfiguration, the glory of God was seen so much that it would drive those apostles there to their face. You know, to stand before the glory of God, if it's fully seen, Alex, man cannot stand. They had to hide Moses in the cleft of the rock and put his hand before him as the glory of the Lord passed by, didn't it?
Yeah, and you know, the word glory, many of you will know this in the Greek, is doxa, D-O-X-O, or sometimes D-O-X-A. And if you've ever sung the doxology,
yep.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow, it's a song we often sing it in church as we take up the offering, that, you know, all glory to God. That's the doxa, the glory of the Lord shown round about them, and they were sore afraid. They were terrified, literally means. But you know what angels always say, the two-word salutation that angels always seem to say, fear not. Yep. Now, don't you love verse 10? For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to how many people, Bert?
Let me see. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say a few. Oh, I see it, Alex. It says all. That's good news, brother. All people.
Now, I'm not going to belabor this point, and I don't want to open up a can of worms, but I do believe Christ came for the whole wide world.
Amen.
And it says, whosoever will may come. In Isaiah 55, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. Revelation 22, you know, whoever will come. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. And the angel says this great joy, these good tidings are for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Okay, Alex, I'm going to stop. A Savior. How long have they been waiting? I'm telling you, since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15.
Right. Yes.
The first messianic promise about the seed of woman coming. And here's Mary giving birth to Savior. Shouting it. I mean, it has changed the world, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, in one of my books, I talk about this, that I toured the Greensboro News and Record one time, a newspaper, and they were showing me, you know, back in the old days, how they had to typeset, and they had these squares with letters, and just, you know, before computers and such, they had to, you know, set every word. Now, I'm sure some of you have seen things like that. Well, some of these letters are pretty tiny, like a 10-point font or a 12-point, and some are pretty big, and they had these letters that were, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 inches tall, these gigantic letters, and some of the old letters didn't look like they had ever had any ink on them because they didn't look used. So this tour guide that was showing me this newspaper plant, I said, you know, what did they ever use these for? And there were some like from World War II, like, you know, the war is ended and there was a man sets foot on the moon, some of the big iconic headlines. And the tour guide said, I don't know. I don't know what news story would be worthy of those, the biggest of all letters ever. What do you think? And I said, well, I got a couple that would be worthy of the biggest font you've got. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior,
amen,
who is Christ the Lord, or Christ returns. But, you know, think about this. Ever since, you know, Micah 5:2, in 500 years prior, he'll be born in Bethlehem. Psalm 22, you know, said that they would pierce his hands and his feet. And, you know, I think about Psalm 22, 16 through 18, that says, they pierce my hands and my feet. The people stare. My bones are on display. They cast lots for my garment. You know, all of these messianic prophecies in the Old Testament are the timetable of fulfillment is now in force, isn't it?
It is. And they said, listen, I know you want to go see him, so this is what you look for. You'll go to Bethlehem, and you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. There it is again, the two signs of finding this baby, swaddling clothes, which is talking about the future, his what he's come for, lying in a manger. I mean, he left the glory of God and the riches of heaven to be born in a manger. This is him. And who's going? The shepherds. I mean, we're talking about outcast. There's a lot of possibilities, and I'd say there's a great possibility that these are the shepherds who were keeping watch over the sheep that would be, you know, given and sold and slain on the altar. But, you know, these are the ones. And there's great possibility of that. It's not 100% sure, but it's a great possibility. And here it is. Jesus should put these guys out of business, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Good news. You know, you're going to find another vocation, because the blood of lambs and sheep are not going to be needed any longer after this Savior has lived and died on the cross and rose again. You won't need those lambs to be slain any longer, will you?
Exactly, exactly. You know, 12 and 13, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Isn't that something? Not in the temple, not among the wealthy, powerful elite, but go, and you're going to find him in a stable lying in a feed trough. This is how you'll know. Now, there's a lot of ways throughout history God has essentially said to people, here's how you're going to know it's really Jesus. I think the predominant characteristic that Christ shares with no other person is that he rose from the grave under his own power. This is how you're going to know who can give you eternal life, the one who himself beat death.
Amen.
But 13 to 14, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here's the thing, Bert. Suddenly, they could see with that angel, and boy, what a special privilege that angel got to make that announcement. But suddenly, they could see a multitude of the heavenly host. Now, how many is a multitude? Lots and lots and lots and lots.
Bert, innumerable. They could not count them. Now, notice the words, glory to God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they were sharing who God was, glory to God, praise to God, all praise to him in the highest. No one, I can't help but remember what Satan wanted to do, Lucifer wanted to do. He wanted to lift his throne higher than God's throne. And God is saying, no, it did not happen. This is the one. Glory to God in the highest. He is higher. And on earth, now that's who God is, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God has come to earth, Alex. The God who's on the throne has come to earth in human form. Peace I bring. Good news I bring. And it's and here it is again, toward men. And
yeah.
It's for you and me and for everybody that's listening, isn't it?
Do you know, in Revelation chapter 21, there's going to be a great loud cry in heaven, one of the greatest victory shouts ever. Revelation 21 says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will tabernacle with them and will be their God forever. All right, what a great day that will be. But it's already possible. We've said this on the show, folks. You know, you come to Christ, you're born again, and it's not like you're saved and someday you'll go to heaven. You're already in a relationship with Christ, and you're essentially living in a state of eternity already. Now, we're down here on a mission. We've got work to do, to pray, to witness, to evangelize the lost and disciple the saved. But, we're already living, acting, trading in the eternal things already, aren't we, Bert?
We are right now. Real quickly, we got about 40 seconds, and we'll probably come back to this, but I can't help but look what the shepherds did.
Yep.
Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. They recognized that they had gotten a special message, and they were to respond.
They had to act on it.
You need to act on that today. God sent his son for you so that you could know him and be saved. You need to act on that today. Hey, you can call us 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840.
Did you know that there is grace for that? Problems, discouragements, and hurts seem to come our way daily. But did you know that God promises grace for every obstacle you face? Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no bitter root springs up, causes trouble, and defiles many. When an offense comes our way, God immediately offers us His grace and gives us a choice. Will we choose to take the grace that God offers, or will we hold on to the hurt and end up bitter? We may think that our bitterness is hidden, but Scripture tells us that a bitter spirit will show up in our lives. Will you surrender your injury to God and choose to receive the grace that God is extending to you today? This is Andrea Griffith, wife, mother, and follower of Jesus for OneCry.com.
The American Family Association urges you to pray for our country and her people. There's no authority on earth but that which God has established. Regardless of who occupies the White House, God is still on His throne in heaven. In turbulent times, as always, everyone needs God's grace through Jesus. Please pray for our nation, her elected officials, and the salvation of her people. Pray for peace. A message from the American Family Association.
Hello, this is Carol Cimbala, the director of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Here's your invitation to join us for our Thanksgiving radio special. You will hear a life-changing story of what happens when a person believes that with God, all things are possible. I've picked some of my favorite selections from the choir's latest CD, Pray. And my husband, Pastor Jim Cimbala, will present his Thanksgiving message. Don't miss this year's Thanksgiving special, Thanksgiving Day at 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing healthcare for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, we have highlights of this morning's press conference with President Obama and Chancellor Merkel, and of another Obamacare architect getting confronted with the facts. Also, you'll hear Laura Ingraham educating Matt Lauer on media bias. Plus, Pastor Aaron Free stops by. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Let His word be your strength and hold on to the promises. Hold on to the promises. Jesus is alive, so hold tight. Hold on to the promises.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
Amen. I'm worshiping along with that song. I'm telling you what,
holding on to the promises.
Amen. I hope you are. The promise of Jesus Christ and who He is. We've got callers online. We want to go to you as soon as we can, so we're going directly to Illinois and talk to Roy. Roy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello. Praise the Lord. I want to share the scripture with you first. Deuteronomy 18:10. Do not let your people practice fortune-telling or sorcery or allow them to interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics to call forth the spirits. All right, I'm from Illinois. I just moved to Texas. This is my testimony. Polish and Italian, you're raised Catholic automatic. That's in Greenwich. Raised in Chicago, my parents were divorced. My mother and grandmother introduced me to witchcraft at 3.5 years of age. They showed me fortune-telling and told me it was a game. Then my grandmother locked me in a dark bedroom, northwest side of Chicago, and in sand. I did this all the way through my 20s. Simultaneously, I was quite involved in the Catholic Church, served Mass, communion, confirmation, sang the choir, so I wasn't honored to show up. I was there. We get to this. Billy Graham came out to a racetrack northwest of Chicago. I went out there, and I went forward at the invitation. I didn't pray. It was suspicious, but they prayed for me. I went back to my Catholic priest, talked to him, come out of there empty-handed. Then I heard about the Christian Businessmen's Committee in Chicago Loop. It's a canteen where they get gospel tracts and talk to people about Jesus. So So they told me the gospel, and they asked me, would you like to invite Jesus in your heart and life? I said, yes, I'm ready to do that. Those were the last audible words I could speak. I couldn't make another sound. So they had a bunch of people come around me, started praying, and I felt the sensation come down. When the sensation came down, something let go of my throat, literally. I was able to talk. I said, Jesus, come into my heart and life, forgive my son. Because of all the witchcraft involvement, I came under counterattack. I had to sleep in a motel. I was coming home. I had being stung. Someone would sting me, I would jump. Outlines and images, audible voices coming at me. So finally, I had the Lord led my life to a chapel on the north side of Chicago, praying out loud that this was my time. A woman heard me. She said, I think I know where you get some help. So I picked up and drove from Chicago to Warsaw, Indiana. That's 125 miles east, south of Warsaw, a little town, a little country church. The minister opened the Old Testament of Deuteronomy 18:10. He led me in this prayer. I said, Satan, I open the door to my life to your negligence and now it's closed. Has God to forgive me? He took his hand, commanded to go to Jesus, saying, well, he said that. It's like he lifted weights off my shoulders. I felt it lift right off me and see my face change. So that's my testimony.
Amen. Roy, amen, brother. God can deliver. Alex, I want everybody to hear that about Roy. I don't care what the sin is, witchcraft, an addiction to alcohol or drugs, the issue of homosexuality, pornography. God specializes in deliverance when you come to him and you just lay your life before him. Roy is a testimony of that. Roy, thank you for listening, brother. That was exciting. Yes. Here, it's great to hear what God has done and what God is doing, Alex.
Well, you know, Proverbs 3, verse 6 is a verse I love. Well, I guess I've written this in the Bible of hundreds of young people that are graduating, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, or literally make your path straight. I just want to say to everyone listening, if you've dabbled in occult activity or paranormal things or Ouija boards or witchcraft, you need to renounce that. And you need to let God direct all of your ways. You acknowledge God in all of your ways. And look, Christ will forgive you of sin. He will purge you of any residue. And all of that stuff is lies of the devil. You know, Jonah 2 verse 8 talks about lying vanities. And so, Bert, you know, I would just encourage anybody who's ever had any occult activity in their background to renounce it, totally forsake it, renounce it in the name of Jesus, and move forward in the light of Christ completely.
Last month, I was in a meeting, and a young lady came up, and she was dabbling into witchcraft and had even part of a coven and had started doing it, and God brought her out and delivered her, and the ladies in that church was coming alongside her to support her and encourage her. If you're out there today, and like Alex has said, you're dabbling in it, stop if you're dabbling, turn away, and if you've already gone into it, God will deliver you. God can bring you out. Call upon the name of the Lord right now. Mm-hmm. Roy, thank you for that testimony. Alex, I'm still amazed who all is listening. We have people who have great testimonies that God has done a great work, and they tune in and hear us just share the word of God. Roy, thank you. You've made my day, brother.
And let me just say a quick word, too, for the moms and dads. You need to make appropriate entertainment choices for your family. Look, I'm not a legalist. I'm not, you know, Angie and I see movies, but we try to see good movies and avoid bad movies, so I'm not a legalist. But there are some movies that glorify the occult and things like that, and among your children could make them have like an unhealthy interest in things like supernatural and witchcraft. And Bert, I just don't even like that in the house.
I don't either. Stay away from it. Avoid it. Pass not by it. I mean, just you cleanse your – I believe in cleansing your house from such things. And I'm not a legalist, but I want to tell you, Satan is – wanting to kill, steal, and destroy.
And he wants a foothold anywhere he can try to take one.
That's right. Thank you again, Roy. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Larry Joe. Larry Joe, it's good to hear from you again, brother.
Hey, Bert.
Yes.
Hey, you know, right now, you and Alex, you was talking earlier about, you know, you hope that what y'all said reached out and touched someone. Let me tell you this right here. Y'all come up beside the brothers and the sisters with y'all's word. It's so comforting. And when you're talking about my Christ coming to earth, it broke my heart. And I thought about the old song that they used to sing, my grandma and mom and them, tell me the story of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord God, praise the Lord.
Right on my heart, right every word's what it says, Larry Joe. You bet, amen. Brother. Go ahead.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Tell me the story of Jesus. And I just want to say thank y'all and God bless y'all.
Amen, Larry
well,
Joe.
God bless you.
You know, we do have folks that listen just about every day, and they're either driving, they're at home, and it's such a blessing for people. And that's the reason Alex and I take what we do very seriously. We don't try to do this flippantly, and we try to be as courageous and bold as we can with love. Now, sometimes, you know, those two things got to go together, don't they, Alex?
They really do. They really do. And, you know, a lot of people say that we, you know, God uses us. If the Lord uses us, we give God all the glory. But we count it a privilege. I mean,
amen.
It really is. And I thank God that so many years ago, Don Wildman had a vision for touching this nation through radio. And, you know, this radio network is growing and growing, and God has been faithful, and people have supported. And, you know, lots of people hear about Jesus every day through this. I want to give that number. I think we got time for a couple more
calls.
Yeah,
we do. We got,
888-589-8840. Your Bible question, we'll do our very best to give a factual answer.
Okay, let's go to Louisiana, back to Louisiana, and talk to Joshua. Joshua, welcome.
Thank you all for taking my call, fellas. I'm trying to make it quick. Galatians chapter 4. Now we, this is 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, our children of promise. But as he who has born according to the flesh and persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Now I'm asking y'all because Israel is going to be where God's going to come back. Now Benjamin Netanyahu, is he Jewish or is he Palestinian? And is this conflict going to continue, or do we wait for the prophet to come and take care of this problem
okay.
with this family feud?
Way to go, Joshua. Benjamin Netanyahu is Jewish, okay?
Yes.
And, you know, he's got a – he has – I don't know everything about him. I know he has a lot of Christian friends that are in the United States, and – I don't know about Israel. I know that, and I know the influence has been good. But what about this battle? It will continue. Won't it, Alex?
Oh, my goodness. You know, and what we're seeing is Genesis chapter 16, the children of Ishmael and the children of Isaac that have been locked in an impasse for centuries and centuries and centuries. You know, we could probably do a whole show. I want to put in a plug for Tim Wildman's trip to Israel, March 9 through 17. Go to Israel, my dear friend. Drop everything and go to Israel. I mean, it is so worth it. In fact, I was looking at my schedule, seeing if I could somehow make it work to go next spring. I just don't know that I can. But the conflict will coalesce. The armies of the world will surround the nation of Israel to not only put an end to the Jewish people, but frankly, the armies of the Antichrist will gather at Armageddon, to try to really finally kill off God.
That's true.
I mean, really, that's what it will be. The minions of the Antichrist to fight God and all the people of God, but just with a mere sigh, with the breath of his nostrils, Jesus will vanquish all of his enemies. But the story of history really is the great panoramic Bible story.
It is. Thank you, Joshua. Let's go to Texas and talk to Steve. Steve, welcome.
Hey, thank you, guys. Blessings and peace to you. How are you doing today?
I'm great, man.
Good. Well, I just had a small comment. I love what you're talking about, all the eschatology and other things. But a minute ago, both of you said you're not legalist, and seeing that I'm retired law enforcement, that kind of bothers me as a Christian, because we tend to say we're either grace or we're legalistic, but that's not true. I'm full of grace and mercy, but I'm lawful. I obeyed. I strive to be holy with the Lord. That's not legalism, to strive to obey him and do what he says. In fact, I think we should more emphasize that's what he said. If you love me, you'll obey my commands.
Amen, Steve.
To obey whatsoever I commanded you, making them disciples of these things. So I just feel like the church needs to revisit that a little more often and say, we're not going to be legalistic about whether you go to church, movies, whether you read the comics on Sunday and that kind of stuff. But we need to define being lawful with the holiness of God.
Amen, brother.
Beautiful.
That
beautiful.
Is great. And there is that difference between lawful and legalism. When we speak of legalism in a spiritual, theological way, it is talking about basic. You got to keep this for to be salvation. In other words, they depart from grace. But grace is not a license to sin. I heard it put this way, Steve. God's salvation is given to us so not that we will do what we want, but so we'll do what we ought. And that's a little play on words, but well spoken, wasn't it, Alex?
Exactly. Hey, thank you. I applaud what you said, because it is a challenge to us to really speak with precision. We are absolutely supposed to be lawful. And we do respect the law and law enforcement officers who lay their lives on the line for minimal compensation. And so when I was saying that we're not legalist in the sense of, you know, our standing before God is contingent on, you know, 50-11 things that we've got to work for or something like
we're
that.
We're really saying about Phariseeism and what they did, honestly.
Yeah.
But that was a great. Let's try to get in one more call before we go.
Sure.
Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Gary. Gary, welcome.
How you doing, sir?
Doing good, brother. Go ahead.
I enjoy listening to y'all's show. I listen to y'all quite often. I'm curious. I have a question for you about the title of pastor.
Okay.
I thought that if I was not misunderstanding, I thought pastor was reserved for another name for elders.
Okay.
And I thought that was being used, as I've heard y'all using it, it's referring to ministers.
Okay, Gary. Let's give it, we hadn't got a lot of time. Alex, you go first this time, and if I have time, I'll comment.
Sure. Well, you know, there are a lot of words in the New Testament that refer to those who become senior pastors. In fact, you know, one of them in 2 Timothy, it says that the servant of God. So there's bishops, elders. Ephesians 4:11-12 talks about pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But generally, the word for elder is often translated pastor, and it means a teaching overseer. A teaching overseer, and there's a lot of qualifications for you know, what makes somebody, appropriately qualified to do that. We're to the point in church history that, you know, churches have become organized, denominations organized, and we generally, you know, when a man is called to be the senior pastor of a church, there's a certain number of things that he has to measure up to, apt to teach. You know, 2 Timothy talks about the servant of God must not be quarrelsome, must be kind to all people. But spiritually and personally, there's some qualifications that a man who aspires to the pastor should fulfill.
Gary, let me just share this with you. When Paul would go into churches on his missionary journey, before he'd leave, it says he would ordain elders. That's all except in one place, and that's in the book of Philippi, where they did not have a synagogue. They just met on the creek bank, and there he said he ordained bishops and deacons. So it's not necessarily the titles. It's the function that you really want to check, and the function is somebody that's going to share the word of God as the senior elder, the senior pastor, the overseer. And so don't make so much about words as function. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Tune in tomorrow with Fireway Friday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.